At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. An annual homeless count released yesterday found little change in the number of people on the streets in Tarrant and Parker counties. KERA's Christopher Connolly reports.
This year, the count found 1,924 people were homeless across the two counties, the vast majority in Fort Worth. That's down a tad from last year, and there were fewer veterans on the street and fewer women fleeing domestic violence. But there were increases among families and people under 18. Otis Thornton is director of the Tarrant County Homeless Coalition.
Something has to change, or we're going to find ourselves in the same situation year after year.
The homeless count is basically a snapshot of people staying in shelters or sleeping on the streets. Carol Klosick from the Center for Transforming Lives says that misses a lot of women and families who can't get into shelters or avoid the camps where homeless people congregate.
Moms with young children want to stay away from those places as much as they possibly can, just simply because they're not safe. Who wants their three-year-old exposed to those kind of harsh realities?
Klosick says the annual count also misses those people who cycle in and out of homelessness, like a mother who lost hours at work because her kid had the flu.
Suddenly she didn't have enough to pay rent, so they lived in their car for a time until she could earn enough money and save to get back into an apartment.
Advocates say low wages and a severe shortage of affordable housing are the two main drivers for homelessness. Thornton says it would take hundreds of millions of dollars to build the affordable housing Tarrant County needs. But he says it's worth it because homelessness is expensive.
It costs about $10,000 per year when someone is stably housed. In contrast, it costs between $30,000 and $40,000 when someone is homeless. That's the cost of shelter, but that's mostly the cost burden on our health care, criminal justice, and other public systems that hit everyone's pocketbook.
Thornton says money alone won't solve the problem. Until people see the homeless as neighbors who need help finding safe, permanent homes, he says cities will struggle with homelessness. Christopher Connolly, KERA News.
Now to our Friday conversation. Women make up half of the U.S. population, yet they hold less than 20% of the seats in Congress. Cindy Simon Rosenthal spent much of her career researching women in politics and then decided to get involved herself. She was the first woman elected mayor of Norman, Oklahoma, and now runs the Carl Albert Congressional Research and Studies Center at the University of Oklahoma. Rosenthal talked to Rick Holter from member station KGOU in Oklahoma.
What's the biggest hurdle a woman faces getting into politics?
We do know from the research that women are less likely to think about opportunities in politics and public service until later. They're often pulled in by issues related to their families or their neighborhoods. We also know that women in politics often doubt their qualifications, and they're less likely to be recruited by persons who are currently in office, party leaders, what we in the political science business call political elites. So if you think about it, if you haven't thought about running, if you doubt your qualifications and think you need a little more experience, and no one's asking you to run, then that becomes a pretty tall order for recruiting women and filling the pipeline with more women candidates.
How'd you get into it?
I have been at the University of Oklahoma on the faculty since 1995. But I got interested in politics actually in the 80s when I worked at the National Conference of State Legislatures and came to recognize how few women were in political office. Mm-hmm. After standing in front of at least two classes of students and saying, you need to think about doing this and you need to be interested in running for politics and public service, a position opened up on our city council, a vacancy, and I thought I needed to walk the walk as well as talk the talk. And so I threw my hat in the ring. 3 years later, I ran for mayor and was then reelected two other times.
So what's the toughest barrier as a woman that you ran into as mayor?
I think the first issue is that people who underestimate you, people will doubt your ability to do the job. I think that's not an uncommon experience for women in politics, and as a consequence, women generally are extremely well prepared when they come to the dais or to the floor of a legislative body, and they do their homework. They're ready to counter and overcome those lower expectations.
Let's talk a little bit about Congress, which is one of your specialties. The longest-serving woman, Barbara Mikulski, just retired. Senator Dianne Feinstein is 83. Nancy Pelosi, the House Majority Leader, is 76. It's a generational change, and yet more women than ever are in the Senate, and far more women of color. How would you characterize this moment?
There's this notion of what we call progressive ambition. You have to start somewhere in the process and kind of work your way up. Very few people make their first race, a U.S. Senate race or a presidential race. Mm-hmm. But if women are starting into the process in their 40s and then moving on to the Congress or the Senate, that's why you get a much older demographic among women, both in the Congress and in state legislatures.
Since Donald Trump's inauguration and the Women's March, there's been a call for new women to run for office. Do we have any evidence that that's actually happening?
I think right now, obviously, a lot of women have been motivated by the November election. The moment that we're in is a challenging one, though, because unlike the so-called Year of the Woman, the 1992 election, mm-hmm. the spark that motivated many women to get involved in that go-round was the confirmation of Clarence Thomas to the Supreme Court and the way in which the Senate Judiciary Committee handled Anita Hill's testimony. In that instance, the electoral cycle was right in front of us, and mm-hmm. so that energy and that motivation to get involved had a clear target. We're sitting here in 2017 with the first national federal elections a good year and a half away. And so it's hard to know whether or not that same energy and excitement that we're seeing among women will be able to sustain itself through this longer election cycle.
Cindy Simon-Rosenthal, thanks for taking the time.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Rosenthal will be at Texas Women's University Wednesday for a public forum on women in politics.